You are listening to the Crimes of Long Island podcast.
Welcome to the Crimes of Long Island podcast. I'm Lindsay, and I am here with Mark.
Hello, Mark. Lindsay. Happy Halloween time.
Happy Halloween time. I'm a huge fan of Halloween, and not fortunately, given the circumstances, but when my son was given his bar mitzvah date as October 30th, several of my friends, like, that I've known from Temple and from, you know, nursery school, were hysterical because every Halloween, we go all out in our clothing, and we were a superhero family or whatnot. So anyways, so it's hysterical that my son
having a Halloween themed bar mitzvah might not be the most Jewish thing to do.
I think I'm going to do it. Well, I'm really sort of leaning that
way. You're gonna get a call from Rabbi Tenenbaum, I'm telling you.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not over there. So, and my temple doesn't even have a rabbi right now. So,
well, Rabbi Tenenbaum is your rabbi then. I'm appointing him to you. No, oddly enough, my nephew's bar mitzvah was also on October 30th.
Interesting.
Several years ago, but
you know. Well, listen, it's either Halloween themed or COVID themed or canceled. So there you go. This story is fascinating. And kind of dull, but fascinating also.
It's a quick one. I see, like, people shouldn't... if you have a 20-minute commute, this might be the perfect episode for you.
I agree. On October 31st, 1964, this occurred in Centerport, Long Island. Centerport is a hamlet in Long Island, Suffolk County, on the North Shore.
Yeah, beautiful area.
Yeah. I've never been there, but it sounds lovely. It's also known as the Gold Coast of Long Island. There was a Vanderbilt who built an estate there. The estate is fondly known as the Eagle's Nest.
I think that might be open to the public. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, it amused me, the Eagle's Nest.
Yeah.
That sounds like a spy movie. So.
It sounds like a Third Reich type thing.
Yeah, and it's full of boats and yachts, and it sounds lovely. And they have,
yeah, we go to, we belong to the Vanderbilt Planetarium and Museum, and which is just a wonderful museum to go to and like see a lot of worldwide artifacts and fish and the entire collection of Vanderbilt, and he did a lot of archiving of creatures, and it's crazy. It's a really amazing thing, and their planetarium is really amazing. So,
oh, I didn't know this existed. Is that in Centerport?
No, I think that might be in I'd have to look that up. I don't know. It's somewhere in the North Shore though.
Okay. So it's a lovely neighborhood, and two sisters, Elise and Eileen Drucker, and they were, I want to say 15 and 16 or 15 and 17, somewhere around there. They knock on the door of this woman, Helen Files' home. Helen is a 47-year-old housewife and the mother of two teenage sons and an adult daughter. And Helen says something like, "Aren't you guys a little too old for trick-or-treating?" My kids would call Helen a Karen. but then she gives them a treat bag. When the two sisters returned home, their mother asked to inspect the kids' candy, which I don't know about you, but I definitely remember a time when that was like a huge thing. But I can't imagine my parents spending too long looking
at the candy. No. I remember it around this period of time on Long Island. I don't remember this story. But
no,
I
but
do want to
just.
Oh, sorry.
Like, often it'll arise and people will be like, you know. I mean, I remember growing up and you had to inspect the candy, but I don't know what the fuck anyone was looking for. I mean, razor blades, basically.
Yeah, but don't give me an apple. You know.
Right. Yeah.
So the Vanderbilt Museum and Planetarium is in Centerport, actually.
Oh.
It's kind of like in. When I go there, I feel like I'm in Glen Cove. Or those type of areas, very windy streets, and if you go at nighttime, you're in for a fun ride.
No, I'm not gonna go. Maybe I'll go.
But it's a beautiful, beautiful museum and really underrated, and it's a great way to just kind of go there and walk the grounds.
That's awesome. You know, you're gonna get a text from me in like 3 weeks. Like, what's the name of that museum again?
So. Vanderbilt.
Yes, I'm writing it down, so maybe I will. That'll one less text.
Who's that
me.
Guy? Anderson Cooper. He's the type of guy who would own this because, you know, he's Gloria Vanderbilt's son.
I like Anderson Cooper.
I think you're barking up the wrong tree there, though.
I know that. So sisters go home, and mom expects the candy. And when we inspect the candy, that means we're going to steal candy from our children, but that's fine.
Yeah, it's like, you don't need this one. Oh, another Butterfingers.
Exactly. I'm an Almond Joy person myself.
No, Hunter, you're allergic to almonds.
Exactly.
I am?
Yes, you forgot again. So the mom expects it, and in it she finds weird shit. A napkin.
What did you think of this to begin with? Before we tell what's in there, what did you think of the idea of basically trolling kids who are a little too old to be trick-or-treating? Do you thought it was terrible, cruel?
So here's the thing. There's a couple of things, factors going on. So Helen is a 47-year-old housewife and the mother of two teenage sons and an adult daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Her own kids are out trick-or-treating. Two of them, the boys are out. And so, who is her anger actually directed at? You know, and why does it matter? If you don't want to give out candy, just don't answer the door.
But the thing is that for instance, we get trick-or-treaters after 9 o'clock sometimes.
Oh.
And I think that's too late to come ringing my doorbell. So I would love to hand them, you know, oh yeah, here's a little baggie I made for you, and have it in there, a Brillo pad, and maybe a photocopy of a middle finger or something.
So let's see. Why don't you do that and see what happens?
Unfortunately, unfortunately, Helen would become a cautionary tale of not having a dark sense of humor because she made one mistake, and I think it's just a single mistake, and she put poison in there.
Yeah, that's a big mistake.
No, it's a big mistake, but it's a single mistake, and it was poison, but not really. It's an ant trap. It's like giving somebody a tack. And saying, well, if you swallow it, you might die.
Right.
I'm not saying what she did is right. But I don't think we'd be talking about this if there was not that ant trap.
No, because she put together some inedible trick-or-treat bags, including dog biscuits, ant buttons. Oh, that's
you could
poison.
Eat dog biscuits.
And dog biscuits and steel wool pads.
Hilarious.
My child definitely would have eaten that dog biscuit, by the way. Both of my children might have. Equal 50-50 chance of eating the dog biscuit. I agree with you, but why include the ant buttons? The poison. It's clearly marked poison.
Yeah, it's stupid. That was her number one mistake.
Right. But it's a biggie. So
it is. It's definitely a big one. This is also 1964. She probably answers the door smoking a cigarette with a glass of scotch, and she's like,
she's probably on Quaaludes. Like, let's.
Oh yeah, totally. Back in the days of the Quaaludes.
Yeah.
I mean, she's living life. But you know what? She's probably in love with Halloween when the little kids come up and they're dressed like 1964 Casper, Mickey Mouse. You know, some stuff. I mean, it's always cute when little kids come, and it's fun. You know, it's exciting. But when you get the older kids, they're just there for your candy, which is fine too.
I mean, I guess it's fine, but like, kids can go to the store to buy candy now, you know, but whatever, fine.
Not for free.
Not for free now. But so the next day, Helen is arrested for endangering a child. And she, like, much like Mark, sees the humor in it.
I bet you she was really a funny person. You'd love Helen, I bet. I bet you'd get along well with Helen.
I think I totally would. You're right. This is a definite, like, I don't think I would give kids poison, but I definitely, there are a lot of times when I do things that I think are going to be funny or say things, and they're not.
Yeah, it just doesn't land. But luckily, it does not involve poison.
Not yet, no.
But I do think that this started single-handedly the Long Island fear of poison in your candy bag.
So that's actually false.
Really? All right.
Yep, I can send I'll send you the list, but there's a lot of previous, like it goes back to the 1800s.
Mm.
you know, and so, and also it wasn't just, you know, Long Island or just New York, it was a nationwide thing.
When I was a kid, and when you were a kid, I'm sure you heard about these things. Were you into trick-or-treating when you were a kid?
Always.
Yeah, me too. And I just, there was always this fear of it, but I kind of only remember when I was very little, my mother, like, going through the candy really quickly.
She didn't like you when you grow up.
Yeah, and it was just like, you're on your own, kid. You're a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I don't, my mom was not a kind, my mom was not a doting mother, as we discussed, but so I just don't see her. I feel like I remember a couple times of them, like, looking at the candy, but now that I'm a mom myself, I would wonder, what the fuck am I looking for? Like, unless, you know, literally, unless a razor blade struck me, because you're not going to open all the candy.
You also don't let your kids go to shady houses.
Right. Right. Yeah,
but they're kind of, I mean, so this year, are your kids trick-or-treating?
Probably.
Personal question? Yeah.
Probably.
Will they venture outside of your neighborhood? Where you have to walk too far to get to the next house.
Oh my God, it's so far.
You know what? This year he should join, if he still has the energy from his bar mitzvah, Ramiel, who hits up the Gibson area.
Okay.
And
I mean, Hunter would love to have something, you know, like he would have loved to go on his own last year and we just weren't comfortable, but.
We let him mostly go on his own last year for the first time. And mostly. But his, you know, these kids these ages, they're stupid.
Yeah.
And like one of his friends are like, we're all going to take our bikes and what we're going to do is ride around. I'm like, your bikes are going to be stolen.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't think about the stolen part, but I just, I thought about this when I was.
Or you'll forget where you left them.
I thought about this when, that's what they will do. I thought about this when I was at Six Flags the other day. Like when I was like younger, like my daughter's age, like I went to sleepaway camp and at the end of it, they took us to King's Dominion, which is like basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so, and it wasn't like the counselors let us around. It was like, all right, we'll see you at 5. And just
what's King's Dominion? What is that?
Oh, it's an amusement park. Like,
oh, okay.
Flags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. It's like the same thing. And so, it's, you know, they just let us go. And like, I couldn't see doing that with my child right
and
now.
And that was around the period of time of the Katie Beers abduction.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly.
Yikes.
Right.
But yeah, and if you have an interest in Katie Beers, you look in our archives in one of our earlier episodes. But back to this period of time, people blow up at this. This becomes, I don't know if it became a national story, but I bet it was.
Right.
Helen Feel? Is it just Feel?
Yeah, Feel.
The only photos I see of her, she's kind of like, in sunglasses.
She's fucking pissed, and rightfully so. Like, you know, she's questioned. She says, I don't know how many of these prank pellets I gave out. But, you know, and her husband,
how many
Elmer,
glasses of scotch have I had? It's about that many.
Right. Her husband, Elmer, was busy watching TV, so
Elma
he's
Feel?
Of no use. Yeah, right. He's of no use. Somehow the Suffolk County police decide that this could be fatal, depending on the size of the child.
Elmer's like, I'm watching Jackie Gleason. Shut up.
Or All in the Family, maybe. Who knows?
No, that was 1973. Came up.
Damn. Okay. I forgot I'm bringing the expert on everything.
Good try. Could have been the pilot episode for maybe Gilligan's Island.
Ooh, okay.
Could have been. Black and white.
I'll pretend it was that then.
So, but the Feels are really just kind of being brought up on a lot of charges, but there are not a lot of stories to kind of say that this became a huge story, right?
No, there aren't. I mean, you know, December 2nd, so they sent her to a psych ward to Central Islip State Hospital.
Nobody was harmed, right? Like, nobody actually took the poison.
Nobody took the poison.
All right.
December 2nd, she's found sane and taken to court to face criminal charges. December 8th, she pleads not guilty and is released on $500 bail. And then in April, she's charged with 4 counts of endangering the life and health of a child and 4 counts of willfully poisoning food, which means probably she only gave out 4.
Four that they found.
Yeah. If convicted, she faces up to 44 years in jail and a $4,000 fine. She pleads guilty and receives a suspended sentence.
Wow.
And that's it. I mean, the listen, the the repercussions of this case have lived on forever. By 1985, a poll by ABC News and the Washington Post found that 60% of parents believed in the potential for, you know, poisoned candy. I feel like we haven't been talking about that, like, since we had kids. I feel like that hasn't been as big of a thing.
No.
But everyone believes that at some point someone poisoned kids' candy, and that's, I don't know about everyone, but I grew up with that false.
Yeah, it's like a stigma, you know, that it.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think I've had any experiences either.
No, but it's definitely like an urban legend type thing.
Do you know where Helen ended up being buried? I don't know if this is her. I'm trying to compare it to your notes. Did she die in 1995?
She died in March 1995.
Then she's buried in Ohio, of all places. Huh. Maybe she moved.
I mean, wouldn't you? I think you'd have to.
Well, here's the thing. If she's living in Centerport, I'm going to guess they're pretty wealthy. Or at least have a nice piece of property.
Yeah.
They would, yeah, I guess I would move.
I feel like you have to. I mean, you know, you have to move. Also, the kids are almost grown. They probably stayed another couple years while the kids graduated and moved. Although Ohio is weird, but.
Elmer was only a year younger than her.
Yeah, and well, he died.
Older, sorry.
Oh, you're older. So,
he was a major in the World War II.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Helen dies in March 1995, and Elmer dies in August 97. And their three children are still alive. One of them is actually a health education teacher.
Oddly enough, amusing. Yeah.
Yeah, I found that amusing. And another one works in education as well.
Do you think she uses it on day one? It's like, has anybody heard this story?
I hope so.
You know, I would. Here's the thing is, it was a victimless crime. That's the whole, was it a stupid, stupid thing? Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, she had to I think she paid the price.
Yeah.
She had to move to Hancock County, Ohio.
That is the crime. I agree.
She had to go live in Ohio, of all places. Yeah, it's just kind of one of those kind of crazy situations. You know, I'll put a link to Elmer and Helen's graves in findagrave.com. I kind of dug them up. I think it's really nice. You can leave photos of the different graves, or people leave flowers, or they can make comments, you know. Yeah. No comments were made on Helen's, though.
Well, what would they say? I mean, that's surprising.
No, people sometimes go and find a grave, and they will say this, you know, if it's like a convicted person, or if they committed a crime, they'll say, you know, this person did this.
They'll say bad things. I got it.
Yeah. Or we just did a podcast about these people. It's like a free promotion type thing.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. But I also think it's nice to visit the victims and to make a comment. I don't, but I think it's a nice idea.
I agree.
The gesture is there. But nonetheless, I believe that Helen Fisher Hachnen Pfeil. That was her maiden name, Fisher, and then Hockton.
Interesting.
I think she did pay the price. She definitely goes down in the history books as somebody who helped create the boogeyman a little bit.
Yeah. And the moral of the story is really don't drink and make goodie bags.
Yeah, not with Quaaludes. Come on.
No.
Not Mexican Quaaludes.
No, it's a lot.
Yeah. But you know what? She probably built up a bit of a tolerance.
True.
I picture her answering the door in the back. You have a crock pot running. You have Jackie Gleason on the TV, and Dad's like sitting really close with the beer, like an Archie Bunker beer. So you're not wrong. And we just kind of picture it. She answered. She has the cigarette in her mouth, and the ashes fall on all the candy. This is what I picture the 60s as.
I agree. And
how are you?
I agree, and I think a lot of her life and time and money probably was wasted in this, you know. I mean, don't poison kids, obviously. But
don't poison kids. It should be a song.
It should be the title of our episode.
I do think that the troll is funny, that when you get home, you get a bag of Brillo pads or something, but not poison. She probably legitimately thought, I don't even think they were called ant poison back then. It was like ant traps, because nobody wanted to talk about killing anything. So it'd be an ant trap. You think of little like mousetrap things in there or something.
Either way, dumb move.
It's a dumb move. Lindsay, thank you so much for this Halloween-themed episode. I hope people are enjoying these darker and not... I guess this one isn't so dark. Our last one was pretty dark. But
yeah.
But nonetheless, thank you for all the work that you've done. And if you have a question, if you have an idea for the Crimes of Long Island, please visit us at thecrimesoflongisland.com. Visit our Facebook group, our Tickety Talk. just search for Crimes of Long Island. We're the only one to be covering these type of stories. And that's it.